call the meeting to order. So I guess we'll go right to step two, approval of the agenda.
I'll move to approve, but I've invited Ruth Briggs King to our meeting tonight. I don't know if she will attend, but I have asked her to listen to our conversation about topic number 9. And if she does show up, I just would ask that we move that topic up to whenever she shows, if she shows. But other than that, I move to approve the agenda as published.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. The minute standards is, or agenda, I mean, next to be the approval of the minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
A question on the minutes, basically, for my information. In the economic development update, really, you had several relocations in the industrial park. Are those people moving out or moving in?
Cooper Barron's built, so they moved in. They were previously in Georgetown, but they moved into the industrial airport. Delmarva Insulation was previously in Georgetown and moved into Universal Products. Laurel Garden Holdings is new, but they're replacing Superior Lawn, so it's even so again.
Same people, different name,
yeah,
right?
Different owners.
Different people.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't just change the name. California Closet, I don't know. Jim had that one.
They subleased one of the buildings to Adams Construction. It's just a sublease.
And both Cooper and Delmarva Insulation went into bigger facilities.
Any other any further questions on the minutes? So we hear a motion for approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. Approval of the minutes is complete. Number 4, any declarations, letters, opinions, guidance, or outside advisory, from the outside advisory presently or in the past? Anything, Jim, that we need to know about?
I don't have anything.
Anybody else? Moving to item number 5, wildlife management update.
Not a whole lot to update on. It's getting to be goose season, nesting, and really haven't seen a whole lot out there. There was one day that looked like they were starting to gather, but they've been gone. Saw two in the industrial park. We did renew our egg and nest depredation permit for the year, so we can go out and destroy eggs and nests, and we'll do that if we see them, but I don't really see them.
And you were doing something with the turkey vultures that gather in the center tax suite. There was something about the water.
Yeah, that's cover that in the next item, but
right.
We're going to address that.
All right. Okay.
But really, nothing else going on. Go out there and look.
The next
unless
issue
somebody
is
else, seagulls. Unless you got something to report, what are you seeing anything while you're out there? Or?
Seagulls will probably be the next thing hanging out on the runway, but they are what they are.
Have we had any reports of eagles? I mean, I've gotten reports of eagles in different places around the county, and I didn't know if, well.
But we did find a dead turkey vulture on the runway on 1028, like right along the edge, like half on, half off. Looked like it had been hit, kind of had a broken neck kind of thing. I would think I would have heard if somebody had hit it, but we went out and cleared it off.
What happens if an eagle nest on the airport, do we know?
Half shut the airport down.
That was the answer I was
afraid
of.
I don't know if it's protected species anymore.
Yeah.
It's close to not being, so I don't think that's an issue anymore.
Yeah.
Don't poison it.
Okay. And the deer population is under control?
Minimal, as far as I can see. You guys are out there too, so I don't know what you're seeing.
Nothing.
My
last night landings have been good. I'll be flying in Friday night late, so.
Okay. Any other comments on wildlife management? Larry just texted me, he's going to be here in about 5 minutes. I'm sure he's going to be very interested in the airport update. And he needs the whole runway. So.
Sounds like him.
All right. Perfect time. Good job, Larry.
Sorry about that.
I got your text message. I just told him you were coming. You were inbound. On final approach. All right. Number six, airport update. Larry, we knew you'd be interested in that. So.
Yep. All right, lots going on. You probably noticed the Dell Tech power plant building going up. It's going to be quite the little building out there. They're going to move their Lear jets from the hangar over into the new building. So lots going on there. They'll be done July sometime. They expect to have the school up and running this fall for that semester.
For the power plant portion?
Yeah.
So are they going to get it out of the gate?
Good question. They're either going to remove part of the fence and tow it over, or they're going to get a crane and lift it over. They're still working on that part. But
it'll be fully taken apart.
That's what I was thinking. Take the wings off. Because it is an airframe.
For some reason they don't want to do that. I brought that up too. But
I want to see a taxi down Leonard Lane.
Resale value.
Yeah.
You take the wings off, I'm pretty sure that probably affects it.
It affects the warranty.
According to which model Lear it is, it may not be worth the scrap it's made of.
True. Think when they got it in here, I think it's still inside. It was for sale for what, $350,000, right?
Yeah. And I'm sure they've messed with it enough that it's a trainer now.
25, right? Lear 25. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's not worth this weight and scrap metal.
Yeah. Going on in the industrial park, we're finalizing the plans and specs to overlay Broad Creek Avenue, which is the road in front of the chicken plant. So that'll happen in the next few months. Other non-flying things, the restaurant, get a lot of questions about that. I think since the last time we met, Arenas was selected as the new restaurant operator. They're going to operate weekdays 11 to 9 and then also do breakfast on the weekends. I don't know if you're familiar with Arenas, but kind of a sandwich, sports bar, mm-hmm. 73 different kinds of beers, kind of a
73.
Place.
That's something, good for pilots flying
like
in and out.
Like
the bar is not big enough for 73 taps.
We'll try, though.
But they will... if you get a chance to go to one of their other four locations mm-hmm. they got right now, do that. I think you'll be as excited about it as I am, because there's a lot of remodeling going on right now. They got the whole place torn apart, and they're going to turn it into it'll be an Arenas. I think part of the problem we've had in the past, and no offense to Larry, but you know all the restaurant operators have operated the same basic facility. Since day one, you know, with some minor changes to, you know, have models and pictures and that kind of thing. But, you know, it's going to get new paint, new carpet. The bar is being remodeled. The kitchen getting a new floor. There's a lot.
Even all that at their expense, or can't.
There's a little of both. So there's a lot of county people in there doing some of the work right now. We're looking for a...
When is that going
to
open?
Nice. It would have been nice to have a little more county involvement when I had breast review. And I have to deal with how God wanted them to want nothing but blood out of...
Okay. Well, that's what's happening with Arenas. We're looking for... trying to plan for a May 18th grand opening. type of a thing, welcome to the airport. That's a Saturday. That's the same day as the Georgetown Spring Festival down in the Circle. I've never been to one of those, but I guess they closed the Circle off, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a big deal. We'll have shuttle buses bringing people from there out to the airport. We're going to put the word out. They'll probably need a little help with points of contact, but we'll put the word out to the local pilots that, you know, come out and see the restaurant type of thing, and then also, you know, you take part in the Georgetown Spring Festival. So hopefully that'll be May 18th. Any other questions on the restaurant?
You said the Saturday and Sunday hours are 9 to 9, or?
I'm not sure what it is, probably 8. I didn't get that, but they'll do a breakfast buffet on the weekends. The other projects coming up, we're finalizing the plans and specs on repairing part of the concrete apron, and this will be the part between the T-hangers and Jeff's place. So we'll have to do some coordinating with the people in the T-hangers and you, because you've got those four spots that'll be affected. Maybe just three, whatever's on the concrete.
Just patching the miscellaneous spalling sections.
There's some
little of everything.
Yeah, some hole section replacement and crack repair, ceiling. It'll be a 30 day project. It won't start until after the runway project is done. Mostly because we need the barricades. We'll have to coordinate all that for alternate parking and access.
This is my recommendation. Is if it's less than a half a slab, I'd take half a slab. I wouldn't do anything less than a half a slab. I don't know what the plans are showing.
Because you commented when the one we did, we went like a foot and a half beyond one of the joints.
Right. And then if you ever do the next slab next to it, then it doesn't have the tongue and groove because you went a foot and a half into it.
Because it spalled, the joints had spalled past, so when we cut it and replaced it.
We're almost doing custom repairs for the condition of each slab.
Right.
Is what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm just telling you from the highway standpoint, every time we get into a partial less than half, it doesn't last, from my experience.
It's budget time. We've made some proposals. You were asking about the ditch out there with the buzzards in it. We went out and surveyed that area. It doesn't drain the way you would think it's supposed to drain, and that's why there's water in it. And it wasn't as easy a fix this year as what we thought it was going to be. We had a little bit of money against that project this year, and it just wasn't enough. Hopefully we're going to get to that next year. And of course, these are all subject to the budget being approved. The taxiway safety area in front of the state police, where they've rutted it out with the downwash from the rotors, we're gonna fix that. The other project that we're trying to get done is replacing the wind tee. There is no FAA standard for what the wind tee, or wind direction indicator they call it, is supposed to look like. The one we've got out there now is kind of on its last legs. It's very expensive to have just the T part remade. But the pivot point, or the joint there is in excellent shape, and it's kind of an engineering marvel to start with. So we're gonna leave that and put something on top of it. I would like to see us do something a little creative out there, and something like put a Cessna 150 on top of that.
That would be cool.
So you could actually
see
that
it
up, and you'd be able to put the lights on. Mm-hmm. On top of the wing and the fuselage to do that. I had an airplane up at Jenkins identified, but it's just in too bad a shape.
Was it 159, 1459 X-ray?
No, it was
because it's sitting there.
It was like the wing is over here. It was a mess.
But
they got the one up
after
there.
He landed that's
they,
it.
They got the one up there across from the old sail loft that the guy has there.
Yeah. Which came from Jenkins, but So we're looking for an airplane to do that. A 150 would be the perfect size. So if anybody knows of somebody with, you know, airplane that got flooded out or, you know, just is not flyable anymore, let me know. We'll try to do something there. And then we also next year have some more road upgrades to do in the industrial park. So, like I said, it's all subject to the budget, but you know we're moving ahead with things.
With the 150, could someone donate it and get a tax deduction?
Mm-hmm. You should be able to.
Donate to the government.
Are we a 501c3? Could they maybe donate it to the Delaware? Could they donate to Larry's museum and then Larry would
yeah.
To the county?
I think it's possible. I really do. You can do that.
There's a 150 sitting out in the grass right now for sale that maybe something could happen with it. I mean,
how much?
17, I think.
He's asking 17, but I mean, if he could get a tax credit that would give him something, I mean, he might.
That's 10 net, roughly.
But anyway, if I hear anything,
you could keep an ear out for
the museum, and the museum could lease it to the county for a dollar or something.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. The runway extension.
One Sean Mims that too.
He donate. If he can get it right off, he might donate.
That's probably a little bit bigger. I mean, the wind tee that's out there right now is just about the size of a 150. Just for reference, but that's why I think, you know, plus the high wing part of that, you know, having the lights on top of it would work out better.
Probably too.
Sorry?
A certain load, the weight load, I think there'd be a limitation.
Okay. All right. The runway extension project. Obviously, the weather has not been our friend the last few weeks. We were hoping to be underway with that already. That hasn't happened. Right now, the current plan is an April 15th start date, and then 120 days for that phase of the project puts us into mid-August. I know people are not happy about that part of it, but I'm not sure what we can do.
Now, the mid-August, is that because of the 30-day shutdown for the paving?
Well, the second phase is planned for 120 days.
Okay.
And, you know, 120 days from mid-April is mid-August. So,
and the reading
you know, obviously, you know, if they can get out there and get busy on it, it's going to take less time.
Right.
They were actually pretty quick on a lot of their earthwork with this last phase.
Their test strip's good, isn't it?
Actually, it failed. But, but
I think it's a curse for the airport for test strips.
So that's the current plan. The other issue that came up was our instrument approaches. And it has to do with the way the way we have to provide survey data to the FAA and the lead time for getting new approaches certified and published, and this thing called Airports GIS, which is an FAA program. They started this a few years ago. You know, there's 7 different lines of business in the FAA, and they all seem to want to use the same information about each airport. One of the big things is, you know, the runway end. You know, the airports division will needs to know that for certain things. Flight procedures uses that to develop instrument approaches with. And in the past, each division would have you go out and survey for their use, you know, provide them the information. This Airports GIS program, you go out and survey once, the runway end is not going to change. So, you know, you submit it to their system, it's all part of the big program, and whoever needs that information gets it. That hasn't gone very well FAA-wide, and, you know, we were also one of those places that didn't go as we thought it was going to.
Now, why is that?
Well, part of it is that it goes in AutoCAD, and they convert it to GIS.
Right.
And there's, you know, and the National Geodetic Survey gets involved somehow. And one of our submittals, the end of the runway when NGS pulled it up, was out in the middle of the ocean someplace. even though it was submitted in the right format. And
you thought I was off on my, because I was going to bring that up tonight about the VOR4, if that could be adjusted so that maybe it's a VOR5 or something to get into the airport. Because when you come in on the VOR4, you're basically coming into the circle, and the airport's way over here.
And that's with multiple aircraft. I mean,
I just did the approach. I just did the approach yesterday.
It brings you to the north.
If that could be adjusted on to a different radial off of the VOR, they call it VOR4, but it's 53. But it doesn't even get you close.
55. But it brings you to the north of the airport. It brings you pretty much like towards the circle.
Well, I know you get it, I mean, you got to be like within 30 degrees or something and all that. You're saying it's outside of that? It doesn't bring you to the most approach point?
No. It's basically, it does not bring you, if this is the runway and you're coming in, it's bringing you more towards the north of it instead of towards the end of the runway.
I could land on Main Street. I couldn't hit the airport. Because and what happened was I had boggles on, and Jeff said, okay, you broke out. And he said, find the airport. And I was like, I couldn't find it. Now, I had the bar from the window, and it's 496 in front of me. But I was so far over, I was like, this is crazy. Right. You know.
Have you seen that, Rick? Where you come to the north of the airport? I mean, Ken Box done the same
thing. It's a...
Yeah, let me talk to you more about it later.
Yeah, it's just something that if they just adjusted the radial over to even 6.
Yeah, I mean, they'd have to fly.
You would be more in line coming off of Waterloo rather than where you're coming in. Because when I opened up, it was like, okay, I'm going to land right on Main Street because I was right in line with the circle. Yeah. I didn't know how hard that would be to adjust. And since you brought that up, that was going to be one of my topics tonight.
Okay. Well, I mean... look into it.
Okay.
I mean, I'll give you a call or something.
Sure,
and
sure.
Make sure
absolutely.
I got all the numbers right. And,
have you done a VOR VOR check? Make sure the VOR is not off.
Yeah, I've had it with my aircraft, Kimbach.
You fly with a GPS too?
No.
Yeah,
he had GPS, but I was dual VOR.
If you fly it on the VOR radio, it doesn't bring you into the airport.
Now, four takes you right down Main Street.
I never used just the VOR. I always back up and fly the GPS approach in. Even if it's a VOR approach, I follow
right.
The GPS in instead, because I know the VOR is not going to bring me to the runway in. And if you're breaking out of weather at minimums.
And we were doing a practice circle to land, so my minimum was 680. So at 700 feet, I took my goggles off and just like, okay, find the airport. I'm like, well, I see the circle. I know the airport's near here, but I couldn't see it. Due to the stuff in the thing, because I was basically coming down Route 9.
If you fly the VOR only, it almost forces you to do a circle of land.
It does. It really does, especially when you're timing it.
And it's not a recent thing. It's been that way.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. Let me talk to you more about it.
Sure.
When was the last time the FAA flew the approach to this check?
About a month ago.
Yeah, it's been pretty recent.
Wow.
I see, man.
Yeah, they're out there a lot in the King Air. They fly it in the King Air, don't they? Yeah.
Okay. So our big concern, getting back to the runway, our big concern was not getting to the end of the project and not having an instrument approach ready for the new runway ends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we were trying to get that information in to the FAA so they could build the approach. The first shot we had at it was for a June publication, which didn't work out, and it's probably a good thing it didn't, because the runway wasn't going to be ready, and we'd be without an instrument approach. Then, as you know, they come out every 56 days. So the next opportunity was August, and that's when we had the problem with the survey data. And now we're looking at October under the original plan before we can have an instrument approach published, which is not acceptable. You know, once we start the project, we're moving the threshold, and I'll get to that in a minute. We lose the instrument approaches to runway 4. That would mean mid-April till sometime in October, we wouldn't have an instrument approach.
Couldn't you do it through no TEMS?
Well, let me go through this, because I'll explain it. So that, like I said, that was unacceptable. We came up with a new plan that the FAA just approved for us today. Just got the email before I came over here. We call it Plan A. We also had a Plan B, just in case they didn't like Plan A, but they fell for Plan A. During construction, we need to provide a 300-foot safety area on runway 4. The safety area, you know, is supposed to be graded and compacted to take the weight of an airplane that goes off the end of the runway. And, you know, for our runway, it's got to be 300 feet. So the first step in the runway extension project, because we're going to be digging up off the end of the runway in the safety area, is we have to provide that safety area, and that's a 300-foot displaced threshold on runway 4. So once we do that, the threshold has moved. The approaches to runway 4 are going to be NOTAMed out of service, or, you know, not authorized. The runway 22 end will stay the way it is. We'll have approaches to 22. The plan A is, when we get done with the runway project, instead of striping the runway for the eventual 370-foot displaced threshold, we just put it back to where it is now, which means the instrument approaches are still valid, the PAPIs are in the right place. We just end up with a 500-foot displaced threshold on runway 4.
Until the approaches are approved.
And then part of that will be, we'll go take the trash out. Right. So what we'll end up with is 5,500 feet of pavement, a 500-foot displaced threshold on runway 4. Runway 22 stays the way it is now. Like I said, the instrument approaches are still there, the ones that are there now. The PAPIs don't get moved for this part of the package. And then when we come back next year and do the overlay of the entire runway, we're going to have to restripe it anyway. We restripe it with the displaced thresholds on either end. The survey data is all there. We tell them to activate the new instrument approaches. There's no delay in the both becoming effective.
So the overlay is next year then?
Right.
Okay.
So during construction, we're going to have a 300-foot displaced threshold. We won't have instrument approaches to runway 4. We know that's not acceptable to PATS because they got to have 5,000 feet. And I don't know if Jeff said something about you needing the whole runway too, but and then some of Garrett's customers also need 5,000 feet. So we've built into the project the ability to reopen the entire 5,000 feet of runway, make that available. And we're going to do it with a 24-hour notice and prior permission required, PPR, to do that. That'll require the contractor to make sure that the 300 feet off the end of the runway is graded and compacted, and, you know, no more than a 3-inch drop off at the end while all that is happening. You know, when that 5,000 feet is available, the PAPI's in the right place, we'll turn those back on, and I guess it's kind of like we are today without the instrument approaches. I mean, basically during construction, we'll have a 4,700 feet available for landing on runway 4. Everything else will be 5,000 feet in both directions.
So let me see if I'm clear. So what do we do, like Larry or myself are just coming in, or Rick, or any of us, I guess. But we're coming in and the winds are favoring 4. Are we supposed to call ahead of time and say, hey, you know, looks like we'll be using VOR 4? Mm-hmm. And a minimum for
VOR 4 will be NOTAMed out of service or not authorized, so that's not available. So you can fly to 2, if you need an instrument approach, you can fly to 2-2 and circle. And, you know, or break out and land, whatever. Dover approach will not be able to clear anybody for a real instrument approach to runway 4. but they can do the practice VFR approaches. And we're looking at ways, when we've got that 5,000 feet available, just for those special cases, we'll do away with the NOTAM that says the approaches aren't available. They'll be able to be cleared for an approach if they need to. So, but it, like I said, it's just the special cases, the 737, the larger corporate aircraft. But for the most part, it's a 4,700 foot for landing and four, no instrument approaches during construction. And then once the runway markings get put back, everything comes back up, and we're back the way we were.
That's only for the instrument approaches, right?
Right.
For VO4. For four.
Right.
Okay.
Can I just make sure I understand the last thing you said about the approaches? When an aircraft that does call ahead and requires the entire 5,000 feet, that we can kind of reopen the approach, so Dover can clear them for that approach?
Yes. I mean, we're still... We're still working out the kinks here, but my understanding is the way we're going to do this is we're going to note them, the approaches out of service for runway four, which means they can't clear you for it. When the runway's open for that 5,000 feet, we'll cancel that NOTAM. Now Dover can, back the way it is today.
Right.
Dover can clear you for the approach. You've got 5,000 feet. The only difference is it's marked for a 300-foot displaced threshold. The PAPIs are going to bring you down,
right.
Probably not landing the first 300 feet to start
exactly.
with.
Exactly, yeah.
It's just, you're going to see different markings.
And how long would this last, roughly?
That'll be the length of construction, so probably the 120 days.
Okay. So it's just, unfortunately, it gets us through two races.
The only
or at least one race then, right?
There's no impact on the NASCAR traffic.
Okay.
We don't have any NASCAR traffic.
Okay.
Yeah.
The 500 feet after the construction period is over, there's going to be 500 feet of pavement there. Is that going to be used, used for takeoff?
Yes. No, let me get to that. So going through the construction phase, everything's the contractor's gone. What you're going to have is an extra 500 feet of pavement out there that has the arrows leading up to the displaced threshold, like you see at any other displaced threshold. So you can use that first 500 feet for takeoff in that direction. You use it for landing in the opposite direction, and takeoff in the opposite direction. You just can't use it for landing on runway four. Probably confusing half the people in the room, but
will that be for
that'll be until we do the overlay
right.
and remark it, and then we'll end up on the runway four end. It'll be a 370 foot displaced threshold. Runway 22 end will be 170 feet, and when we do that, the PAPIs have to be moved, and like I said, since the thresholds are moving. The instrument need new instrument approaches, but that gives us enough time that the surveys stuff is already in. The approaches are sitting there waiting to be put in the book. The other part about this during construction, the approaches are still in the book. They're still in your GPS. They're still whatever you're using to navigate with. They're still there. It's just there's a note about that says you can't use them. You want to use them for practice or whatever. That's fine. But.
So does that resolve the issue you and I talked about of the PAPIs and physically how many, where the PAPIs will be and when? It's not like
during construction, the PAPIs will be off on the runway fore end unless we open that 300 feet,
okay.
And then we'll turn those back on for the larger aircraft.
They're going to stay right where they are until next year when you do the
overnight. Right.
And you're going to turn them off.
And then they'll be moved.
Okay, but you just said they won't be on.
Right, the runway 4 PAPIs will be off during construction.
2-2 will stay on.
So when will they be back on?
During construction, nothing happens on the 2-2 end. So forget about that. Everything's down at the other end. During construction, the PAPIs are off because we've moved the threshold. The instrument approaches are not technically usable because we've moved the threshold. And then there are certain days that we're going to pretend that we didn't move the threshold, turn the BAPIs back on, cancel the NOTAMs for the approaches, and the only difference is now you're landing over the arrows and the threshold,
right.
Threshold bar. So
this
is, I mean, it's actually a better deal in the long run, because we end up with, you know, 5,500 feet of usable runway for three of the four cases.
It's a good workaround. I appreciate your working it out from where a couple weeks ago it didn't look quite so optimistic.
No,
I know it's probably kind of far ahead, but next year when we do overlay, are the PAPIs, are they going to be, when they're relocated, are they, are we going to be out of service for a period of time when they're relocated, or are you using new
those
PAPIs?
Those should be new PAPIs.
That's good. That's good. And one more question. Weekends and evenings during the construction period, what happens? Do you know yet what happens during weekends and evenings? As far as the, I mean, is there any?
It's a 4,700-foot runway. Unless we get notice to, you know, reopen it for, you know, the bigger airplanes.
Okay.
But it's going to be, you know, you got to show us that you really need 5,000 feet of runway.
Depending on your landing technique. Some of us may need five.
Yep. I mean, the only time would be also the minimum only circle, which you could have got in straight in. So
that's a very narrow window of difference.
Yeah. I mean, there may be times that you can't get in.
But you'll always be able to land on four VFR.
Yes.
Okay.
We're not closing the runway. We're just moving the threshold.
Land on IFR. You just have to do your approach between two circle of land.
Mm-hmm. I got a fuel plan for that, though.
How big of a circle do you do?
Well, I mean, if I get to fly up to 2-2 and come back, it depends, because I'm coming out of Florida. It'll just it depends on the winds, the whole lot of things. The vectoring I get out of Florida is crazy.
I heard somebody got a 2-hour-old the other day.
No, they put him on the ground.
Well, he went on the ground himself.
Yeah, he had to come back down.
So there's some things changing out there, Larry. I was surprised. We were out there.
When I come out of Florida coming back, I never know what I'm going to get.
So that's the...
You know, once you get a clearance, you can always ask for amendments until they get tired of telling you no. And
you have filed, you have clearance, and then actual.
Multiple actual.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then if you don't like what they give you, just keep asking for something different until they give you direct.
Mm-hmm.
We do that all the time. We bug the hell out of them until they give us what we want.
A pilot leaving here the other day got a 2-hour hold.
Where?
Yeah, it was Walt. He departed and was picking up his clearance in the air, and they had storms down south. And he came back and landed because he was going to have to do a 2-hour hold over Georgia.
Yeah, but there was something active.
It was the storms, because I saw him and I pulled up to him and it's like, hey man, what happened?
Sunday.
It was Sunday.
Yeah.
You didn't want to fly.
Yeah, because you went and fueled him.
They had winds over 80 knots at Titusville, Florida. They clocked winds at 90 mile an hour at Orlando. I was down there. We tied down and rode it out and waited until they passed over top of us, then went out behind it. There was an F-18 turned around at Tyco, blew over top of the trucks, and the wind was so strong blowing. So it was smart to just land and not get anywhere near that. There was nothing going north and south through that. The tops were over 45,000
feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I can understand why you get a 2-hour hold. That was an unusual situation, and that ran all the way from southeast Georgia.
Yep, it dotted right on down the line. And he I think he can go to 45,000, but he can't get any higher. But see, he runs out of plane at 40, essentially, with that little one.
Even the airlines were canceling and delaying.
Yep.
With all the changes here, Ford being out of service for approaches, and with the sequestration, I don't know what's going on with Salisbury when they close that tower. Is it possible for you to touch base with somebody and say, you know, we're more probability that we're going into Salisbury on low ceilings? You've taken half our approaches away, you know. So
it's a limited time, though.
I understand. But in that limited time,
pray for good
weather. Should we ask, and this is a general question, should we ask as pilots, say, well,
door in the sequester when there is no tower anymore at Salisbury, is that going to change anything on their approaches? I wouldn't
It'd
think
be
so.
Just your sequencing or spacing in, into Salisbury.
But the, I mean, is
Their approaches will still be good.
The ILS will still be in place. And
it'd be a Tucson approach clearing you to the approach.
But they can't see it on radar down to the...
So they'll have to wait till whoever's ahead of you calls in that he's on the ground, and that may delay you a little bit.
Hello? Coming in?
This plan A actually makes things a lot simpler than what it had been. I know it probably didn't sound very simple, but it really is, and I was surprised the FAA went for it. But
did you come up with that?
As a matter of fact, yeah.
That's pretty slick.
Every once in a while.
So maybe you can get the VOR4 approach amended right while we're working on 4.
They're going to redo it anyway.
Yeah.
Because of the
that's true. Altered just a,
so
like 8
just
degrees
make
or
aware
something.
That it used to bring us to the north of the airport. But
this would be a good time to talk to them because they're doing it.
Yeah.
So, right.
And I was just thinking that the pilots group is going to be asking, you know, what Salisbury situation is. So no changes. Yeah.
Is the Eastern Tower...
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They never needed a tower anyway. Salisbury needs a tower. Easton did not need a tower.
I agree.
Well, I think Dick Cheney had something to do with that.
Yeah.
His hunting buddies.
Well, a whole bunch of, well, never mind. Go there, but they did not need a tower in Easton.
Anybody got any questions about any other projects? Or?
You mentioned that ditch and the drainage of the ditch and
yes.
Money is short. When you get up to where almost where the gate access panel is, where the key swipe is, it floods in that area right there by Sussex Arrow and holds it for quite a while. It's just going to prematurely fail the pavement. Looks like just a little swale from the corner of that fence towards the ditch would probably resolve it pretty quick. And then, Mike, we talked before about that pavement right there in front of the hangar. If you ever get a chance, you get a core, it's up to the county, but it'd probably be a good job to core it. Because from what my staff's telling me, there was only 2-inch overlay put in there, and there's no base underneath of it. So it's getting pretty ratty.
Okay, so we'll take a look at it.
Anybody else have anything for...
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
At my hangar, the back slope on the swale is so steep I can't cut it. Safely, especially if there's any water at the Thompson hangar.
Yeah.
Between there and the next hangar down, Darren Locke, whoever hangar that is now, I try to mow that, but it needs to be laid back a little bit more if that's possible.
Am I regrading it?
The swale itself is fine. It's just the back slope is so steep.
Back slope.
Yeah, if it could be laid back about a foot or so.
It's a shame we had Teal out there last year. We could have had them.
Yeah, but I wasn't flying then, so I didn't really pay much attention. Now that I'm flying and mowing it, and I take my boy out there, and it's like, oh, this is tough. So I make him get off, and it's when it's wet, I can't mow it.
If we didn't have Mumford Miller out here, we could we could get them to do it.
I understand.
But that's not going to happen.
We need another concrete patch project.
Well,
we can include that, and I'll straighten that ditch out.
Need somebody with a construction company.
That's a struggle there. Hold on.
I think I need to recapture this meeting.
I'm the highest or deepest ditch section, and it is tough for me to mow that to try and take care of it. I don't care about the water lane and ditch. That's biofiltration, but it's just the back slope.
Done?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done complaining.
Anybody else? All right, moving to the next item. Economic development. Julie?
Watching for the signal. Can you talk about the new airplane, the different airplane that's been landing that you told us about? Can you tell the
it?
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
It was supposed to be an airplane that meets the FAA requirements that's landing and taking off here now. I thought it was awesome news. The Falcon.
Is it Mount Air? Chicken?
Oh.
Plane? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, probably. I think so.
Yes, that's what I'm talking
about. Garrett knows more about that than I do. But
yeah, well, the Mount Air Chicken Company has started using George Henry, but they've been using Salisbury for a long time. And they had, they just bought a new plane. The old airplane they had could not land at our runway. It was not runway, the type of plane needed more runway. It was a Galaxy. So they would go to Salisbury, but they bought a Falcon, and a Falcon 3000, and our runway to handle a Falcon 3000 gives them enough landing distance and takeoff distance, so they started using our airport for that, and they're coming in about twice a month now. So the fact they bought a new airplane means they can, and they've always wanted to use our airport because it was closer to their main operations, I guess. They called us before and said, we'd really like to use your airport. Just with the current plane we have, your runway's not long enough. But they bought a new plane, and now they're coming here.
Falcon 2000 is one of our design aircraft for the 5,500-foot runway. You know, if you're going to design a runway for a Falcon 2000, it'll be 5,500 feet. So,
which gives us a better plus when it
comes
to talking. Okay, you got the rest.
Yeah, it's not going to get us it's not a 6,000-foot runway type airplane. It's our design airplane today for the 5,500 feet.
I had heard a report from Salisbury, too, that they had more military landings and takeoffs in 2012 than they ever had, and now they've lost all that with the tower closing, and they're going to have to go somewhere else. I'm just announcing that. I know they can't come here because we don't have a tower either, but I didn't know if Civil Air.
Well, what that is over at Navy Test Pilot School and over at Navy Patuxent, tower gets full over there, and right now, with all the work they're doing with the F-35, whenever the F-35 is flying, they get exclusive. It shuts out everybody else. So I know the test pilot guys, we did some too. We'd go over to Salisbury and we'd do some of our approaches to Salisbury because the pattern is either full or blocked over at TPS. We had one of TPS instructors had a declared emergency one night to get in because they kept holding him out. They got bingo fuel, almost had to ditch an F-18 in a bay. All over this F-35 work they're doing over there. So that's temporary, though, I would hope. There's a lot of guys from TPS and from Navy Patuxent were using Salisbury because there's not that much traffic. They get in twice as efficient for the amount of time they're flying than Salisbury. Then working in the pattern over there at TPS and being sent out on a 5-mile downwind and that kind of goofiness is what you were doing.
Right.
I went to a meeting at the Eastern Shore Defense Alliance, Eastern Shore, Virginia, Lockheed Martin, the subcontractors for the Wallops and et cetera down there, and met with a Maryland firm that has a contract with one of the subcontractors that are down there, and they were like doing backflips when they found out that Del Tech had the airframe maintenance. They're a UAV supplier, and so Del Tech's talking to them, and hopefully we can kind of get them to come visit us and see what all we have here, too. So that was just something with economic development.
On those lines, how long do you think Salisbury is going to be closed?
These are permanent tower closures.
Yeah.
I mean, the sequester's not expected to go away. It's permanent.
That's
what I've been reading on nearly every website.
And what do you think the odds of Salisbury funding there or Wicomico County?
That's awful expensive to fund it out.
Okay. Nah, that does a liability and responsibility.
I mean, the FAA, I don't even know what grant permission to do that. I don't know. I've read their permanent closures.
Because I've never been on that plane without it being completely full. That's what was surprising.
Well, we'll still go. The airlines are still going to use it. They do that.
They're flying now there without a towered airport?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't think they would. That's
that's
have to have a weather observer on the ground if there's no tower.
My concept was if Easton and Salisbury were higher up on the picking list, and we were less because we didn't have a tower. Now, none of us did.
Yeah, if that's all we need, how? Why couldn't we get regional?
More valuable.
Correct. Right. That's where I was going with my conversation.
Yeah, there's my economic development. Why
right.
I'm talking about this because
I don't know. I wouldn't. I don't think I would want
to be military guys. Well, not necessarily military.
It's already carrying up as it is.
But what I'm saying is, celebrate losing something. Maybe they're losing more than military.
They never buy
these federal credit.
They don't stop, shut down, and get fuel, Larry. That doesn't happen.
Well, the Coast Guard guys did the other day.
Coast Guard will if they're doing missions. They have, but not.
Well, they were out just boring holes in the sky, filling some time in when they stopped down.
Call Pat Jones and ask him how many times he's fueled up a Osprey or a any other trainer to come in there. They take up your airspace, but they don't do anything.
They're not buying lunch because they don't have a restaurant like we do. I have to keep saying that. So do you think that there is a group that would be beneficial that might start looking around again?
Well, it might give us the only benefit to the military would be to get our traffic counts up for the type of design aircraft that we're looking for. That'd be the only benefit that I can see. I don't know what those aircraft are, but that's something Jim would know and he could look into, and maybe Larry could make a pitch to the Patuxent guys and say, bring these types of aircraft over.
I don't think we're at that point yet. We're worried about the types of aircraft. Not numbers, maybe, but the types. We're not even close.
I don't know how we record that activity anyway.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Like I said, you have to be on an IFR flight plan to be captured in the system, or have some other, like the information Larry provided, and Pat's has provided.
So there's no opportunity there, but opportunity maybe. The Firefly concerts. I was talking to one of the Dover Downs people today, and they were saying that it has grown. It's like doubled, the Firefly concert. And I know that, we used to get there in 71 bands, et cetera, et cetera. This thing keeps growing. Should we market, the high end, the people that
we got a little bit of traffic out of it last year.
Did you?
But it has grown a whole lot this year, and maybe we'll get more traffic this year. But
so it might be something that we want to actually.
Yeah, we're that's in Dover, right? So
Dover Downs, where the racetrack is.
We're probably the nearest. We're a little bit closer to Wilmington, and if you hear of anybody, have them call us.
Yeah, or whatever. If there's an opportunity there, I think if this advisory group thinks it might be good. The Firefly concert, they had the first one last year, and I forget how many people
it's a 3-day music concert up there.
They have 5 stages, 71 bands, over 3 days. People camp there. They pay a tremendous amount of money. Every Kent County hotel room is booked already.
Woodstock.
Newer version.
Yeah.
Cost more, too.
They probably have toilets, too.
Woodstock credit card.
Well, they pay hundreds just to camp, right? And the broadband discussion we had in the industrial side of things, we had, in essence, the IT department asked me to set it up, and they brought Comcast in, correct me if I'm wrong, but my perception of it was they brought Comcast in to present so that Comcast could meet these people and see if, do you
want to
get it?
No. I got it on Viper. I don't know why it keeps going off. Sorry.
It's not my time now. It was your time. I don't care. to see, what they're going to use, what scope to get in front of them and actually have a connection, because it's my understanding that Verizon isn't, we're not like favoring one supplier over another because there's only one player, and that one player came and talked to them.
This was about bringing broadband over to the industrial airport, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And would that extend to the terminal, or is that that's a separate discussion to have broadband to terminal?
Well, it didn't start out being on this side, Jim, but I think some other things happened after the meeting that I got a hint from IT that you want to discuss. Could it improve our side, this side as well? We'll say our side.
trying to remember.
Premature.
I think the most recent state of play, I don't know if this is germane to this discussion, but the two providers, Verizon and Comcast, aren't very interested in coming into an industrial park for who we have in there right now and the amount of provider or amount of service that they would get in there, cost-benefit analysis. However, there is fiber coming down from Dover, Milford, to Georgetown, hitting the circle and going east to the UD campus on Route 9 by a private provider. We are hopeful that they will swing into here, which will give us fiber on this side of the airport, which will link into everything on this side of the airport, and eventually we can run over to the industrial park.
Out of curiosity, what is this building? This is the EOC. They must have a pretty secure connection. What is it?
We have a Verizon Humana somewhere.
Okay. It goes back to the old, my understanding goes back to the old.
It is actually over at the old 911 center, and we're hardwired from there to here.
Okay. So you guys paid for the connection between this building and the old building?
So basically, you're using Verizon lines.
Yeah.
And I think that maxes out their capability in this area, so which is why we can't add to the rest of it.
And the other economic development thing was, and I don't know if this is what Todd's talking about or not, but Randall Wiedemann's study is...
Yeah, I guess I can update you on that. The business plan, we all participated in the SWOT analysis. He's expecting like the end of April to have the first four chapters done and then have the whole thing done in June. So they're still working on it. They're still liking the idea of renaming the airport. That may be a recommendation in the plan. If you remember that conversation, make it sound more like the service area.
Southern Delaware regional?
Yeah, something that, just nobody, you say Sussex County and somebody out in Ohio doesn't know what that is, but you call it the Delaware Seaside Resort Airport or something. That makes
sports
more
at
sense.
The beach airport.
Sussex County
or at the beach.
Yeah.
Georgetown.
And there are other airports that you
airport.
Brought up that have done that.
I don't know.
Been done better.
Part of the branding process.
And I'm going to start this. The Delaware Economic Development Office, the state office, asked if Sussex County would be interested in getting an AmeriCorps member to help specifically market part of Sussex County. We've made the cut, and we'll find, Dito made the cut. They're getting like 27 AmeriCorps people. And I made the cut to be in the play with a proposal that I did for someone to specifically market the airport, in other words, outreach and inviting people here, et cetera, et cetera. So we still don't know where we are with the Dito level or the AmeriCorps level, but I did get an email in the last month, and we're still in the running, and they would start in October, so hopefully it would be able to kick this up and have somebody almost full-time for a year, so 1,700 hours to work on marketing the airport. There's a lot of ifs, but it's a positive thing if it comes together. And I'm done.
Anybody else have anything for the community or economic development? I think. Moving on to number 8, community outreach. You've already gone over that pretty much.
I don't know.
Just one thing on community outreach. Is anybody around today? We did the pictures with the Bombers baseball team. But that turned out to be a lot bigger than I'd ever been. They had like 300 people here. Had no idea it was going to be like it was, and every kid had to bring food, and they had a big food collection drive, and it turned out to be quite a deal.
I saw the pictures from what Larry's talking about.
I haven't seen them.
I saw the picture too, but I don't know where I saw it.
I saw the kid from
that.
That
was it.
Yeah. I think
kids were all standing up on the wing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I was thinking, I hope Larry didn't see that. They're standing all over his airplane.
He took the picture.
If you you look at the load of external stores that airplane can carry, that was nothing. And I did. I did the load analysis before to make sure they could be up there.
To give a little history, what Larry's talking about is some of us know him, but Zach Crouch was on the ball team as a coach, or boy was on, I'm not exactly sure, but he called me and I hooked him up with Larry, and then they brought this Bombers ball team.
What's the whole league called the Bombers? Mm-hmm. Young teams.
And after that, I hooked him up with Larry. I stepped out of the picture, and then Larry took care of it. Next thing I saw was pictures on my email.
It wound up being a half a day thing, and then he made it a food collection drive for the food collection or something. He had the Army Guard up here collecting it. They had a big truck, took a whole truck full of stuff down. No, it wasn't food. I think it was something for the troops. They were collecting something for the troops, packages for the troops too. And so they had a guard unit up here to do that. And then there was a motorcycle club that was helping sponsor. So they were all out here, and they all wanted their pictures as well. So it wound up being most of the day in not the best of weather.
Do you think Zach might have a picture?
Somebody's got a ton of them.
I'll contact him and see.
They were shooting pictures.
Thank you.
Most of the day. They had this parking lot out here. Before, I didn't know they were doing any of that. I thought I was coming over here to have 10 kids and a couple of parents shoot for pictures.
Okay. Todd, you're listed under the Community Outreach Economic Development.
Yeah, this is a carryover from last meeting where the idea was broached to consider expanding or changing the makeup of this committee to include a local business person. You know, if you've had a chance to chew on it and it's not a good idea or something that the committee wants to consider, we can move on. It was, I think it grew out of the meeting that we had one day with, it was a SWAT meeting, and we had some local community folks, business folks here, that I felt added to the discussion. And, you know, in the county, from the county's perspective, the airport adds more than just aviation to what we're trying to do. it's an arm of Georgetown and then beyond. So, if the committee's not
interested.
Ray
Hopkins from the Chamber.
Yes.
Who does Wings and Wheels. So I think that's why it kind of.
And, you know, we could go as formal as creating a position which would change our bylaws and require council approval to be, and as informal as extending an invitation to the Chamber or the Local Economic Development Committee out of Georgetown and have them aware of this meeting and invited. I don't know, they're already invited to it. I don't even know that.
Well, the public's invited, so everybody's invited automatically.
Yeah.
But not on the email.
Maybe a more direct invitation to let them know that part of what we do affects Georgetown.
Would it be?
Well, the airport is part of the transportation infrastructure. It's more than just part of the economic development or whatever. It's as much part of the transportation infrastructure as a bridge or a highway out here. So certainly it makes sense to have someone involved.
I agree.
I
have
no issue at all with it. I think it would be a great idea to have the business community involved. But, you know, somebody who's involved.
Now, would it be acceptable to ask Julie to make contact with that group?
Well, we got a meeting.
Do some sort of direct.
Don't we have a meeting tomorrow? Wings and Wheels meeting?
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
I said, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Tomorrow's Friday around here. So.
What's that?
I said, tomorrow's Friday around here. Looking forward to that 3:30.
Good Friday
meeting,
is off.
So.
Good Friday's a holiday.
Oh.
So Thursday becomes Friday.
I would say if we put them on the email list or whatever and they start attending, then we could address it as a possible position. But until we get some direct interest, you know, why rewrite the bylaws at this point?
Yeah.
But I'm open for anything.
Even just directly inviting Mr. Hopkins, because I felt like he had some good thoughts when we were here or that one meeting. And if it builds on that, maybe you guys have a good Wings and Wheels participant that is outside of this this scope here that is engaged that would want to add something to the discussion.
Linda's
still on. Linda's, yeah, but her plate's full. Once we just started doing this, I don't think that really would be her forte.
Linda Price.
Ray probably more so.
Yeah.
But another thing, if you ever thought of creating a like an email distribution group of interested parties, and people could say, "Put me on your email list."
I do.
And have a,
I already
you
do.
You already do.
Mm-hmm.
Interested parties, kind of email.
Yep.
Well, add Ray to that. And let him know personally that he's invited to attend and see where it goes from there. But it might be a great idea to have somebody from the business community represented.
Okay. Okay.
All right, so to summarize what we've discussed, Sue's going to add Ray to the email list, or are we going to make a verbal communication with him first?
I can add him to the email.
I think something needs to be introduced to either you, me, Jim. Personally invite him to participate via email and just say, well, I'm going to do a list or something.
Right.
He sees something come across, he's maybe just erase it.
Right.
Well, I had talked to him about the...
Jim McCall asked him, is he interested?
I was going to say,
I know he is, because I've already had that discussion with him, and I'll call him.
There you go.
I kind of owe him an answer on which way the committee's going, so I'll call him.
Thank you.
He'll be formally invited.
Because we want him here.
Yep.
That's the thing. We definitely want him here. The more the merrier.
What about somebody from, like, the press? Not as a... I mean, we're open to the public, but you don't think any...
Should we do a press release with our meeting?
I already
even
do.
Within
okay.
70% correct.
All newspapers.
It's not on the front page.
You still have a large percentage.
You're
going
to say today? It doesn't get updated on my
computer.
Well, I'm going to have to do something.
Right. I'm sorry. I am so frustrated with having to deal with media every weekend. You know, last weekend I was Larry Jones on Friday, and I was Kelly Jones on Saturday. Okay. And each time I gave my business card to the reporter. We were on the Channel 2 in Fort Myers, Florida, television as the airplane and Amelia Earhart flew around the world. You know, so
she didn't make it, did she?
Last
I knew, she didn't quite make it.
Yeah, that airplane's still flying somewhere.
You weren't John Smith when you checked into the hotel, were you?
You're getting 15 minutes of fame
like
and many different
no,
names there.
I mean, somebody mentioned they saw that picture
in
the Cape Gazette.
The only thing I just is you never know what they're going to say or what they're going to report. So what? They put a retraction on page 14 in the lower left corner. Nobody ever sees it. They say, okay, well, we made an error. I'm sorry.
Most of our reporters are young kids just entering into the business.
Which makes it
right.
Worse.
See,
and then they figure out they're not going to make any money and then they do something else.
You know, probably a good happy medium would be to have Ray Hopkins maybe take something from this meeting and distribute it to his businesses that he's in contact with to do some sort of promotional flyer.
Part of the chamber's newsletters.
Right. And, you know, so that may be something that we want to ask of him if he's willing to help promote the airport.
I think we had a reporter here at the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we?
It's the last one and the one before.
I guess we scared him away or didn't find anything interesting.
Would they check the agenda? If there's nothing exciting on there, they don't come.
Yep. We don't need... Okay. Moving on. Anything else, Todd, for the, okay? Anybody else have anything else for the community outreach, economic development? Delaware gasoline tax discussion, Garrett?
Okay. this is about the Delaware ad gas excise tax. And I thought first I just want to make sure, some people in this room might not know what that is. The non-pilots, Todd or Sam or Julie, do you guys know what this, that the avgas tax that's, that was charged 23 cents a gallon? Sam, you ever heard of that?
Farmers supposed to get a break on gas tax too.
That's right.
Motor fuel tax is charged to everybody and it's supposed to go into highway construction.
I just want to make sure we all knew what the topic was.
Supposed to.
Yeah, I don't think it goes any better.
They're not supposed to collect it on air fuel, but we don't use highways. But they do anyway. And then they shoebox the rest of it, put it in the general revenue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't go to any transportation trust.
I just have to see the airport paying gas tax, or the farmer paying gas tax. I don't use the highways. I'm not funded by the highway.
And airplanes don't use the roads either.
Well, but you're funded. You're keeping the runway open.
Well, it doesn't go to... It does not, that money does not come back to Georgetown Airport.
I'm just sorry that being that way. I'm just telling you, Chairman, you're more expensive to society than I am on the farm, because I don't, you're not out there building roads for me to.
That's a value judgment.
See, we're paying taxes on the fuel already that covers, you know, what we're using.
I understand.
That's why our gas costs $6 a gallon, too.
Well, it's kind of irrelevant because they rebate it anyway.
That's the whole point of the discussion.
Go ahead.
Well, Delta's made a decision to allow people that don't use roads, like farmers, tractors, boaters, and airplanes, to apply for a refund and have that money refunded, and most of us participate in that. So the way it works for me as the FBO owner, I buy a load of 8,000 gallons and I pay 23 cents as part of that load I pay to my fuel provider, who then remits it to the state of Delaware. I don't pay it directly to the state, it goes through my wholesaler. And then the state has to audit that company, then my fuel company, and there's a lot of paperwork involved in that. And I have to get involved in the audit, there's a lot of steps involved in it. But we all get refunded anyway. So I was talking to a Deldot employee a couple weeks ago, and he told me that he's done an analysis that shows the net, after they deduct the amount that's been refunded for the amount they've collected, was $40,000 last year. That's all they've gotten out of the $40,000 for 2012 fiscal year.
All the airports.
That's the whole state of Delaware. That's not just Georgetown or Sussex County. That's
your jet skis, your farmer, and everything?
No, that's just airports.
Both? That's just airports.
That's anyone that applied for the rebate. That's everybody. Farmers and the whole...
That is everybody?
I believe so. He didn't show me the analysis. He just told me verbally on the phone. And he said it's averaged anywhere from over the last 4 or 5 years between $30,000 to $40,000 to $50,000. That's not a big... That's my point. It's not a big windfall for the state. It doesn't fund anything. There's more people sitting up in Dover that collect... that didn't go through this paperwork than any benefit from the direct benefit from the money that comes in.
I think you said it started with just too much aggravation to pull with other state taxes.
Yeah. Well, that's how you do it. But I mean, if guys are buying, like that guy's like Alan Corman, who probably goes through 5,000 to 10,000 gallons of this stuff every summer, every year. That's a lot of money for him.
Well, I'm going almost everything diesel.
Yeah, but there's a bigger, there's a much
400 or 500 gallons at a time. Yeah. It's very substantial for you to file that and get it back.
But there's a much bigger point to be made here, I think, that Garrett's headed for.
Well, yeah. This Delta employee was. You know, we got to talking, and he supports just a direct exemption for avgas retailers. He has actually already written legislation that would exempt avgas retailers from having to pay it. Well, that was great news to hear that from a Deldot employee. So, but he's just a Deldot staffer, and he doesn't have any way to really get this legislation moving forward. So I reached out to Ruth Briggs King. This is her district. The airport is part of her district. And explained the situation to her and asked her if she would at least be interested in proposal, or at least become more informed about the topic to see whether she would introduce legislation. So she's met with Jennifer Cohen, who's the director of the Motor Fuels Tax Department of Deldot. And I guess there was this legislation. Resistance from the governor initially to this goes back 2 years ago, I should say, when this Deldot employee wrote some legislation to eliminate the avgas tax, and he wrote it as part of a much bigger bill that restructured the entire workings of the Motor Fuel Tax Administration. A lot, there's a lot of other parts of there. Just the ad gas is like one small component of everything they do. So he wrote a piece of legislation that changes the whole way they operate. And ad gas was just kind of thrown in, and we would benefit from that. But the governor didn't support it. So it just kind of sit on this guy's desk for 2 years. So my discussion with Ruth Briggs King was, well, let's just carve out the ad gas, and we'll make it its own little piece of legislation, and we'll introduce it in the legislature and see if we can get any traction with it. And that's kind of where we are now. She's not, I invite her here tonight to become more informed and hear the opinions of this group so that she can become more informed and take that up to Dover. You know, right now, it's, you know, 3 weeks ago was the first she heard of it. You know, I can't expect her to get, you know, rally up and get all behind it. And with all the other things going up in Dover right now. But, so I wanted to inform everybody of that discussion I've had.
Are we allowed to see the draft?
It's on Delta's website. Yes, go to, I'll send you a link if you remind me tomorrow. I'll send you a link to it. It's on
23 cents, is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's roughly almost 5%. So,
fuel prices fluctuate. It's,
roughly.
It's more, I just look at it as every 100 gallons is 23 bucks.
Well,
when I tell my customer.
Going back to, if you look at the last page of the minutes, one of the conversations at the last meeting was, go to AirNav and look at the comments. Well, you go to people go to AirNav and look at the cost of fuel.
Right.
And that's going to make this airport more marketable in this area.
Yeah, that's,
so that increases.
Which doesn't cut the county out of anything.
Oh, no.
If they cut the
county with the counties. Flowage would actually increase.
Yeah.
Correct.
Because more people would stop here from gas. But people
because
bypass
because
right
you
now,
become marginally.
They go, yeah, they bypass this and they go
right
to Cambridge or Ocean City or somewhere. If they'll flight plan to go around here, they're
correct
not flight plan to land here for gas. Our
correct
gas is 23 to 25 cents a gallon higher.
Well, it's not. My fuel price is lower than Easton, Cambridge. And
it'd be even lower if you
would
have that 23 cents.
It would be even
cents
lower, but we're already
more
very
of a destination.
I agree.
Because usually the trade-off's about 20 cents a gallon.
To stop here,
yeah,
than it would
right
some of the surrounding airports, whether you're looking at Jersey, Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania. I mean, because
which coupled with arenas getting opened up, you know, we can maybe gain some momentum for the airport to get the cycles in.
Because it's a win-win because the state can streamline. The state can streamline some of their administrative.
Right. So it's a win-win for the state, but from a county standpoint, more gallonage, more people to restaurants.
Hang on, guys. Everybody's got their own conversations going. So, yeah, my pitch to Ruth Briggs King was it's a win-win. The government wins because he streamlined efficiency up there in Dover, and Dover and our businesses are more competitive relative to the other states, Maryland and Virginia, and so. So that means it's a pretty easy argument to make. I think she needs more than just one citizen or business owner to compel her to get, you know, introduce this. So I guess I'm thinking of things that we can do as a committee, one of which might be to, in our role as an advisory to the council, is to ask the council to take a position on this in some way, whether it's an informal or a formal vote to the council to say that any legislation that's introduced that eliminates ab gas retailers from charging this tax would be supported by Sussex County Council or something to that effect. So I don't know the exact protocol, I don't know the exact way to go about it, and that's what I need to hear some opinions on and see if we're, you know, that, or that's maybe if there, maybe there's some other ways to do it, maybe that's not the right way to do it, but especially some thoughts from the people from the county is the best way to go about that.
My initial reaction is I'd like to see a little more from what the governor thinks, what DelDOT thinks, what Ruth Briggs King would think about the proposed legislation before we take an action to come to us to take an action. And you don't want to go to the well too many times without knowing sort of what's going to happen up in Dover. And my second reaction is, in a year where they're scrambling for crumbs in the couch to make up a budget deficit, I know $40,000 doesn't sound like a lot, and it probably isn't, but it may not be just the right climate to do that. But Ruth Briggs King would have a much better perspective on that topic than I clearly would, but it wouldn't hurt her to ask. Hurt to ask her.
That $40,000, though, is money that's almost dishonestly collected,
right?
Because it's money that we're not supposed to be paying to begin with.
Right.
And they're actually taking advantage of the people who shoebox it.
Yeah.
And sitting back and smiling, it just seems, that's why I get so riled up about it, because it's not right to even be collecting it.
Yep, the only difference is you're going to be paying up front. You still got the same amount of paperwork, right? Because you're still going to furnish this paperwork.
Nope. Because the state almost has a full-time employee up there processing all of these refunds, which they shouldn't even be doing. They could eliminate an FTE by not even... was that taken into account?
I'm pretty sure they don't want your paperwork. They don't want to know how this gas is going out of here and not paying no tax on it. You'll still have to come up with some idea if you're going to get around that. This thing has been going on. We did this 60 years ago. Same thing. This hasn't changed. I'm like, God, I don't think it's a very good chance of getting done, but I'm with you. I hope it happens.
I'd also say if we could, because I think it's a good idea. I look at it from an economic development standpoint. I think it's a great idea. But if we could grab the aviation industry and then the recreational industry with the boaters and the jet skiers, and you grab those guys in, and now we've got not just us in the room, but you got all those folks, and think about the businesses down in Long Neck that would benefit from that, and some other industries that just come in and say, look, we're not asking for much, we just want this part of it to be waived.
And the farmers are here. I mean, the farmers part of it, I mean, you're here, but it's tourists that are most, or I would say part of them are the tourists that are landing, that are not applying, that are shoeboxing it. These are the tourists that were trying to come here for economic development efforts, and the recreational boaters are people that are coming.
Yeah, we're punishing the people that are here already.
That we want to come here and spend the money.
Right.
Right.
The guys that just come and go.
So that's why I'm saying we can remove the
right.
farmers from the discussion if we need to. And Ray is one to talk to, the economic development group, and CDAC groups, and the Southern Delaware Tourism Group. They're the ones that, I mean, if they get it on board, then you've got more.
Well, you got to, for, and I'm speaking on the advisory committee, not as a DelDOT person now, but you've got to get somebody to ask for the data so that DelDOT realizes they're spending more money trying to audit it and monitor it than they would be if they didn't have it. And that's going to become, to get that information, then somebody like Ruth Briggs King needs to ask the right questions. So she needs to understand what questions to ask to get the right data. If the state agency that's controlling it says, you know what, we're spending $10 to monitor it and we're only getting $5 out of it, they're going to say, we agree, get rid of the tax because it's only costing the taxpayers more money. In reality, it's costing the department more money.
So what's the next step?
The next step would probably be for Garrett to continue his conversation with Roosh and get some education level there to ask the right questions to get the information and the dollar figures. Because if it's $1 million, DelDOT's not going to give it up. If it's 40,000 and they're spending two people to monitor, they're going to say, you know what, I can take these two people because we want to reduce our workforce anyway and put them designing roads and bridges instead of monitoring fuel and tax.
Or they could take those two people and put them into greater revenue opportunities like audits of some larger, you know, trucking companies or some other use where they might be able to derive more than just processing rebates back to farmers and pilots and boaters. I think that could be part of the argument to justify the $40,000.
What happens in Maryland if you flew in a Easton? What happens as far as the tax goes there?
This has not. Yeah, the
tax, it doesn't exist.
There's no tax.
Same with boaters in Maryland as well.
Correct.
I'm thinking about competition. So a boater in Delaware and a boater in Maryland are the same as a pilot in Delaware, a pilot in Maryland. It's the same thing. So that's good.
They're the same, but they're not, because what I'm talking about is eliminating the product.
Well, I mean, if you got your boat hooked up and you're planning your trip for the weekend, you either going to Long Neck or you're going to Ocean City.
Yeah, but where would you go in Maryland to buy tax-free gas?
On the water.
Ocean City dock, right there at the inlet?
That's what I was asking.
No tax on her? Yeah, sir.
Well, anywhere, Annapolis, like, I mean, any ocean,
well, not,
any water.
Not a motor, not a highway tax. See, that's the problem. In Delaware, we're paying 23 cents a gallon highway tax on gas that we're not supposed to be paying. It's just that he never set it up. So they say, oh, well, we'll refund that to you. So everybody's got to process his paperwork. They got to pay people up in Dover to process mountains of it. And the paperwork's a nuisance. But, you know, Lori calls you to get a statement so she can process the paperwork. I have to listen to her curse for half a day while, you know, by having to do it. It's a huge nuisance. But when you buy, you know, lots of gas, you know, the guy that stopped, where they're making their money is when the guy that stops in a Cherokee and buys 30, 40 gallons of gas, he doesn't see the benefit to spending his time to process, you know, forms to mail to Delaware to get a $5 rebate, because they won't do it. So Delaware, you know, it's shoeboxing that money. But that tax doesn't exist in the surrounding states.
But there is a difference between the voting.
Well, the surrounding states have, their highway tax on gasoline sold to gas pumps on the highways, not at marinas, not at the airport.
The difference is voters use a different product. What I've asked Ruth Briggs King to consider is eliminating the product avgas tax from being taxed at the wholesale level.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with boaters, farmers, is they use gas that comes right out of the pump.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not. I don't think boaters are going to have any benefit from this, because we're just talking about eliminating the product. It's just like diesel fuel is exempt. This would be avgas tax would be exempt from the tax at the wholesale level. It
mm-hmm.
wouldn't. So it's a. I don't know that would be able to rally up too many voters to support something that doesn't. I don't see how they're going to benefit from it.
Well, if that's the approach you want to take, then that makes. That makes sense.
And we would need all the other airports in the state of Delaware on board with this as well. I mean, that would be where the support comes from, especially Wilmington, because that's a big tax base there.
That's probably the best thing you got going for you, that special gas.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't that, then you'd have, I'd say, I hadn't thought of that, but that's good.
Yeah.
You should get something in it.
And I think the reason the governor didn't support it was because he didn't support the larger piece of legislation, which
right.
is a rewrite of the Motor Fuel Tax Administration's mission.
Right.
And how the mission's accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was 2 years ago, and maybe in that session there was, 2 years ago is when they had the real big deficits and they were really struggling. I think maybe there's risk involved in the restructuring.
Tell me about the union. Another gives a
question. Okay. So, I don't know that for a fact, but I think that's the reason that 2 years ago it didn't get any traction, was because it just took such a large piece of legislation. So, but buried in that was that one carve out for this special product, this fuel product. So, well, I'm still going to pursue it, but the other part of this is political, is that a Republican doesn't stand much chance to get anything passed up in Dover anyway. So there's going to have to be,
mm-hmm.
we have to get a Democrat involved that will work with Ruth Briggs King, that will understand the idea.
Call Pete. He's the Speaker of the House. He's down the hall.
He's kind of on my radar screen. I don't have a direct line to him or anything, but I think if he got on board, I think it would, the odds of it would go up a lot.
I think for the committee here, we just need to be aware that, you know, Garrett's in discussions and we agree with the discussions that we need to get rid of the 23 cents a gallon tax. And we want to pursue that
with
updates in the future.
Well, maybe could this committee introduce a motion that says that we support any legislation that exempts the avgas product from being taxed? I mean, at least I would have that for Ruth Briggs King to say that.
That would be something I think the pilots group, if we get everybody that's on the pilots group to sign a letter. You know, if you get a letter with 100 signatures on it, that's going to get some attention.
What? I think we got to know the data first. We got to know the figures. Like I said, if it's $1 million they're shoeboxing, they're going to fight tooth and nail.
Gary just told us it's $40,000.
Well, I mean,
that probably doesn't include
so
what the salaries.
Can you ask? Can a request be made of Delodot to release that, or is that not something? I don't know how these things work. But I mean, can you?
I would think that we would be able
is
to.
Is that an FOA thing?
Right,
you
but
could
I think
have
we
quicker to get asked for.
Right, I was going to say we can come up with a method of direction to get those answers.
Would which is what? I mean, what, how do you, just well, ignorance, how does one do that? You ask Ruth Breeze King to say, to, she can request that from the agency?
Okay.
Okay.
I wonder how much number of taxes got collected. The 40,000. Actually, we're getting 40,000 back. I wonder if $100,000, maybe some people just ain't paying attention.
He told me, I think he said it was 350,000 gallons, I think is what he said of ad gas. So you multiply that by the 23 cents.
Yeah.
I think it's gallons, or I can't remember the gallons or close.
It's me.
That pushes down 90,000.
Yeah, it's calling me.
Yeah, it was about a 50 or 60% ratio that people were getting their money back. The other 40 or whatever percent.
They're gonna say we'll lose about $60,000.
That's why I said we need to know the numbers. We need to know the data. We gotta have something in black and white so we can say this is what it's costing. This is what it's costing to monitor, and this is a win for the state, a win for the public, and a win for the county, and a win for the airport.
Is the committee's opinion gonna be different based on the number?
The opinion won't be different, but the
chances of winning,
the reasonable effort is going to be different. I don't think you're going to. It's $1 million. You're not going to get it. I think, and it doesn't matter what effort you put into it. Really,
does that mean you shouldn't ask?
I understand it, but if it's $40,000, the effort is probably a higher percentage is worth it. So.
So technically, that's what you're losing, about $40,000, if you do it, because the other $40,000 pay it back in.
But not necessarily, Sam, because they have salaries involved and cross salaries and postage involved in processing all of this.
Oh, they got to have a job.
That's going
to
come out of that
$40,000.
So their net $40,000 probably going to be less than that.
Well, I'm pretty sure they're going to have them. Well, we know
okay.
How that works.
All right. I think it's a good discussion, and I think it's a good item to leave on the agenda for next time. And I think we need to ask for the data, and we'll work on the proper way to ask for the data.
But ask for all the data, not just their net dollars, but you know, for the budgets involved in processing.
Right. How much FTE is being spent on it? Was this 1.5 or 1.75 or 2.75?
There, is that something that, I guess what I was going to do was send an email to Ruth Breeze King requesting financial data related to this ad gas excise tax about how many gallons and the net gallons that are, the net dollars that are rebated or, you know, yeah, and the amount of FTEs. And they legally have to provide all that to her and then she can share it with me. Is that
she has the authority to ask it as a legislator. And what we can do is take a look at it, and then there's several people here on the committee that can help you. Okay.
One thing about the big picture, when we meet, but the legislature is done in the summer, so we've only got one or two more meetings until they'll be done for the rest of the year, and a majority of that is going to be tied up in trying to find that gap in the budget anyway. Just to keep that in mind as far as how much we could actually get done as a whole and what Ruth Breeze King or you keeping us posted on emails could get done. When do we meet next?
Well, it's after the long, extensive public comments, number 10, we go to next meeting date. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it for this topic, unless anybody else has anything to add to it, I guess. If anything substantial happens, I'll ask Jeff to call a special meeting. Assuming we're going to meet roughly two months from now, or that's probably been our normal schedule. If that's going to, something else happens, I'll ask Jeff to do a special meeting.
It may be beneficial for you guys in the know to sit down with her, just a few of you. Instead of this setting, you just say, here's what it is, here's what we need,
that's
and help.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she's. I assume she's busy this time of year, just going up and back to over.
They don't work very much.
They only work,
half day, 3 or 4 hours. What day's her coffee with Ruth thing at the Georgetown restaurant?
That's true, too.
Okay.
Public comment.
good information, good discussion. Obviously, we don't have any public comments due to the overwhelming number of public that we got here tonight. So let's move right to the next meeting date.
Can I have a comment? Darrell Wingate talking about public, it's not here.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if we should sign a, have we had a meeting since Darrell's, maybe we should maybe sign a card or something, send a card or something, just can we sign a piece of paper and put it in with it, just let him know, you know.
On the board?
That we are, he has some thoughts of, what's happened to him.
Because he's been very attentive.
Huh?
He's been very attentive to the meetings.
Yeah. So I would say just make a note.
Okay.
Larry looks confused. His son died.
Because I've been traveling.
His son died.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he the one we bought the property from, right?
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I've been gone a lot. And he missed you. I'm glad you told us.
So all right, so are we gonna get a card from the committee, or I'll take care of it.
Okay.
So we'll take
so
care of it.
We'll all stop by and sign it.
Is that what you wanna do?
I'll tell you,
you just put,
I think
that
would be good.
If you had a square small piece of paper to put inside that card, just sort of we have a signed night and we'd be out of here and have it done, you just put in your card and just mail it.
Is there any objection to stopping in the Sue's office and signing it within sometime next week?
A little bit of disconvenience. That's okay.
You're gonna have to get off that tractor. Sooner or later, you gotta get off that tractor.
Hey, the way the weather's been, you're not planting anything.
Is there any?
I'm not.
And for the ones that can't make it, if Sue signs,
you got something tomorrow. You can sign it tomorrow.
Can you just sign it from the advisory committee?
No. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Fine with that.
Yeah, I mean,
this is her Friday.
Yeah.
This is my Friday.
This is your Friday, so it could be Monday.
Yeah, next
okay.
week. Yeah.
You just want to sign on behalf of the Sussex Advisors.
That's
Advisors
what I was. That's
that
what I was going to do.
That would cover everybody.
I won't be back for the
good thinking.
April.
I can do that
from the Sussex Advisory Committee.
Yep.
If you guys are going to be flying down
or something like that,
if you guys are flying over Northwest Florida. April 17th to the 20th, the Doolittle Raiders are having their final reunion. They have made it. They have notified the world.
Okay.
This is going to be their last reunion.
Where is it taking place?
Fort Walton Beach, Destin Fort Walton Beach Airport, where we're having all the B-25s. And the reunion is in Fort Walton Beach from the 17th to the 20th of April. There's only three Raiders to be there. You know, Tom Griffin died 3 weeks ago. There's only three right now. Pray that all three of them can still make it. Bobby Hite can't. He's at a nursing home and you know who he is in
April
17th through
20th. Okay.
I know you like to fly down south a lot, so.
Okay.
And there's several public events going on, so you don't necessarily have to have tickets to the ticketed events. There's public parade, there's book signings and several different public events going on. Flybys down the beach. And
are you going to be there?
I guess so. I'm running it again.
Okay. All right. With that, let's get the next meeting date. Looking at, I think I'm hearing 2 months again.
Okay. 29th, last Wednesday.
It's the 4th, usually.
Yeah, it's the
22nd.
22nd.
4th.
Be the
22nd. So we're looking at May 22nd.
I know I won't be here.
You won't be here?
We
will not meet.
We're going to be right in the middle of that airport runway extension. We should have a meeting when you're available, I think. I have to do it the week before because the week after is going to be after Memorial Day. What's
Oh, Mike knows as much about that project as I do.
All right. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
You're going to be here?
Are you going to be here? Yeah.
You're here now.
Yeah. I'll be here on the 22nd.
Okay. So with everybody in agreement with me, 22nd, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed to May 22nd, say nay. May 22nd it is. Do I hear a motion to close the meeting?
So moved.
Do I hear a second? Thanks for everybody attending.
Thank you.
Not so with them.